I went to bed early that night. Too tired to have a shower, I didn't bother changing into my pyjamas. I just slipped into bed in my school uniform, my running gear still on underneath. I didn't even take off my socks. I liked going to bed before Cooper, while he was still up watching television. And if I got to sleep before he came in, I could avoid him completely. Except on nights like this one, when he woke me up with his grunting and snorting. Trying to get back to sleep, I turned on my back, my side, my stomach, before dragging the doona over my head to drown out Cooper's noises. When none of it worked, I decided to get up instead. I pulled on my slippers and headed for the garage. In the darkness, I felt for the wooden stool, then, stepping onto it, reached for the key that would let me back into my hideaway. Once inside, I flicked on the light, blinking into the sudden brightness. It was such a harsh light. Too harsh, really. I should do something about that, I thought, and get a chair or a rug or even a cushion to make the room more cosy. The light from the room shone into the garage, reaching beyond all the boxes and onto a table stacked with old tins of paint. Under the table was something large and squashy. I smiled when I saw what it was. One of our old beanbags. The lime green one, my mother's favourite. Dragging it across the garage and into the room, I pushed it up against the far wall, then sat on it, my body sinking into its softness. Perfect, I thought, leaning right back. Absolutely perfect. I might have fallen asleep like that if I hadn't spied Mum's music box, there on the shelf where I'd left it. Pulling myself out of the beanbag, I reached for it, my fingers feeling for the groove at the back. When the drawer popped open, I smiled. Yes, there was the watch, cocooned in its red velvet drawer, and when I held it to my ear, again the sound of its ticking comforted me. I placed it back gently, giving the drawer a soft push until, with a click, it closed. Reaching under the music box, I began to turn the key. Once again, I twisted it three times, but this time it didn't stop. So I kept on turning. Six times I turned before it stopped. As soon as it had, that music, that cradle song lullaby, filled the room. What if, I murmured. Before I knew it, I was heading for the door, and when I stepped out, not into Julia's garage, but onto a road, I felt a tingling of excitement. It was a strange road, not made of tar, but of stones, cobblestones. The road was narrow, there was hardly enough room for even one car, and people were pouring out of doorways to hurry down it. The men were dressed in suits, and the women wore jackets and long, narrow skirts. There were children, too. Children in old-fashioned smocks, and boys in shorts and collared shirts. Like me, I thought, looking down at my own school uniform. The boys were dressed like me, except their socks were long and they weren't wearing slippers. Where on earth was I? The more I watched, the more curious I became until finally I couldn't stop myself. Stepping onto the road, I let myself be led down it, almost carried down it, until suddenly, abruptly, everyone stopped to look up. Up at a hotel directly across the road, a hotel called the Hotel Deutscher Hof. It was then I noticed the banners. Red banners with black swastikas. Nazi banners. They were Nazi banners. And there were lots of them, one between each of the hotel windows. Squeezing through the crowd, I made my way to the front. All around me, people were shouting. At first, I couldn't make out what they were saying. It was such a jumble of sounds. But as the shouting increased, I kept hearing the same words. German words. Führer, I heard. Wir wollen unseren Führer sehen. We want to see our leader.